We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Solid so far. 4 of 6 throwing. Deep drop here, looking downfield. Aggressive call and a shot into double coverage is intercepted. Wind gust comes through, 3rd and 11. Pack bringing 5. Trubisky taking it deep into a lot of coverage. It is intercepted. Darnell Savage was touched, but Savage comes up with the interception again.
We wanted to make Mitch play quarterback. We knew they had a lot of weapons. We knew they were dangerous. We knew all of those things, but we knew if we could make Mitch play quarterback, that we'd have a chance.
Just make them play quarterback. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. This portion of the program brought to you by Sean and the gang over to Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Epoxy flooring, polyurea coating, they do it all. And do it with a warranty for life. Get a hold of Sean and the gang again. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our buddy Mike Clemens. And Michael, I look at it as a good win. I thought the Packers did a lot of good things. Yes, some garbage touchdowns and such, and things weren't perfect, but they did what they were supposed to do in this rivalry, in my opinion.
I agree. They were definitely concerned about the kind of performance that they were going to get from the Chicago Bears, Akeem Hicks losing. And we learned a lot about the Bears last night, too, which I'll get into. There's a couple of players that got challenged last week in practice. Now, one that got praised was Jerry Gray, the secondary coach. He was asked about Darnell Savage. Like, this guy was a first-round pick. He's had some flashes. He's got some speed. Where's this guy at? He's had some injuries and then come back for them. And Jerry said, he's having a good week in practice. He's actually picked off a couple of balls, and I think he's going to get a couple, two or three here before the end of the season. And he ends up getting 2 last night. And it was same old Mitch. And that was, Tremont, by the way. Tremont Williams, after that big win, Matt LaFleur's first game as head coach, and we're down there in the visitor's locker room at Soldier Field, and he said, Mike Patton, we're just going to let Mitch play quarterback. I mean, it almost gets back to this, to Charles Woodson, and what did he say about Jay Cutler?
Same old Jay.
It's funny how the story repeats year after year after year, how the Bears put up $90 million in all these draft picks to get Khalil Mack, all the draft picks, the chips they shoved in to get Mitch Trubisky, who was an average quarterback. Mitch didn't think he was going to go in the first round, I don't think, and so they've thrown him into that. But you got Darnell Savage with that first interception in the end zone, which was, he said, it's a play that the Vikings ran on them. And so that's what the Bears were trying to pull off on them in the second quarter last night.
We actually, we actually got that same play earlier in the year. And, offense is like people always say, it's a copycat league. So stuff that works, teams are going to find a way to get back to it. So, I had a feeling that they was going to take a shot. And when I turned and I seen the ball was in the air, I just tried to run as fast as I could and get under it. So it ended up working out.
And it did. I mean, it was nice to see him, kind of jump that pass, so to speak, if you will. But what I was so impressed with was when you talk about Trubisky and he gets picked off a couple of times. Granted, he has some decision making that was rather poor, but he tried to look off a couple of times the coverage, and Darnell Savage Jr. wasn't having any of it yesterday.
Right. Yeah. And, talk about same old Mitch. I mean, this is the way the Bears' offense was last year. This is why they went out and got Nick Foles. Remember where they could barely muster, 20 yards total offense in the first half of games, and then suddenly, Mitch would start running some RPOs or whatever and, get a couple touchdowns. Maybe the Bears' defense would turn something over and it would make, you know, they would keep in games. But it's why they went out to get Nick Foles, for crying out loud, in the offseason. So Mitch Trubisky talked about his decision to, when he had Darnell Mooney, his wide receiver there, in the end zone, and Savage was able to make the interception.
Definitely looking back on it, forced it a little too much. Probably would have liked to check it down or scrambled. But I was trying to be aggressive early on. That's what we were preaching this week as a team. Mooney got held up a little bit, but I still think he could have got to it. But the safety made a good play over top, so you got to give him credit. But in hindsight, definitely would have liked to check that down, just not have forced it so much.
And the question, which I thought was so interesting when you brought it up during the Green and Gold postgame show last night, Mike, was Mitch wanted to know about, you know, confidence in starting and such. And his answer was raises an eyebrow if you're a Bears fan specifically.
Yeah. You know, at one point, Mitch Trubisky's quarterback rating was 38 in that game. When he got a couple of those touchdowns, you know, in so-called garbage time, which seems to be his time, he got it up to a 74.7. Three touchdowns there towards the end, two in the, you know, in the final quarter. You know, Mitch Trubisky beats out Nick Foles in camp because he knows the playbook and because they didn't have an offseason that really set behind Nick Foles in getting up to speed with this Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy offense. But Trubisky's stinking it up in a game against the Falcons they clearly should have won, and so they bench and they bring in Nick Foles. He throws three touchdowns and lights it up. But then Foles has had his problems adjusting. And the bottom line is the Bears' offensive line, decimated with injuries. Whatever the case, Trubisky comes back, and now he earns the job back, and he's, you know, even after suffering a shoulder injury on one play where he had a run, an RPO in midseason, sort of a gadget play, here he gets a second chance, and he ends up stinking it up, you know, in prime time on national TV. He's the same old Mitch Trubisky, and so he was asked by the Bears media last night.
Mitch, do you think you played well enough to justify starting next week?
I don't know. It was tough, like I said, just because of the turnovers early on and then being in a hole. There was a lot of excitement being back, just being back in the huddle and being back with the offense throughout this week. And I think myself and the offense, we had kind of this expectation or picture of what we thought could happen going into this game. And it just didn't go that way from the get-go. And so things like that happen sometimes. But I don't know. It's not my call. I just try to, like I said, put my best foot forward every single day. The chips will lie where they are.
Chips are lying all over the place, Mike, when you talk about this. The chips aren't falling in the right way, but the chips are lying everywhere. I say the day that it was years ago when we were coming back listening to the postgame show and Mitch Trubisky's presser, and I said he sounds like a kid in high school who's ready to tell you which hat he's going to wear to the college he's going to go to, and he sounds exactly the same.
I don't know.
I don't know. What? Who answers that? I don't know.
I don't know. Babbles.
And Bill, look, I am no expert. It's just, you know, I get full-time, I get to just watch football. It's not that hard to be watching a preseason game a couple of years ago with the Raiders, and I call you and I say, who's this number four? I guess this is David Carr's younger brother, this Derek Carr, who apparently was, you know, Devontae Adams' quarterback at San Jose State, and this guy is, he's just all over the field. He's wearing a number four like a Favre. He's jumping up on the bench and waving the towel, and he's so competitive. And, you know, that guy broke through and won a starting job and has been a competing quarterback. You know, it just, you see guys emerge. You're watching the Cowboys in a preseason game against the Dolphins. And after Tony Romo takes care of the first quarter, some kid named Dak Prescott comes on and just moves the ball down the field, like out of nowhere. Where does this guy come from? And I start talking about that. It's just, you see these guys and they have the spark. Or you're at the Combine and they've got all this attention to Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen, and these guys are some of the cockiest self-promoters I've ever heard from 22-year-olds, even if they're going to be first-round picks. And then there's this big kid off to the side that's built like a Ben Roethlisberger, or in the old days, you know, a Roman Gabriel, who on the field could throw the ball flat-footed 75 yards. And he just keeps talking about team and kind of down home and kind of remind you of Favre about, you know, just kind of having fun and keep it light. And you say, this kid is the leader. And that's Josh Allen. And that's why I say this is a guy you want to play for as a teammate and not some of these other guys. And so we just look at Mitch and it's like, it's over his head.
I don't know.
Over his head.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to start next week. I don't know. Matt Nagy has got a problem on his hands now. I mean, he's now 5-6. They spent all this money and draft picks on Khalil Mack. They spent all those picks to get a quarterback. And the other things that they've done in free agency. And, the window is closing on this group that was supposed to get a Super Bowl for the McCaskey family. And Nagy asked last night about, now you're 5-6. Did the players quit on you in the second half?
Yeah, I felt like the tackling there as the game went on, got sloppy. And that's kind of what happens when they're being able to have successful runs and you're trying to make tackles and stop them for, short gains on first down. And I'll never question our guys quitting. That's not one thing that I'll ever agree with anybody with guys quitting. So I would disagree with that.
Tony Dungy's actually said during the NBC broadcast when the Bears defense just started having sloppy tackles, he said, that's guys quitting. That's guys quitting. Yep. So then Nagy was asked about his season record now and where he's going to have to go from here.
When you lose and you lose five in a row, you are getting challenged big time. And what's easy to do, the easy way, is to just start pointing fingers and just saying it's not my fault. That's what it's easy to do. Unfortunately, there's too many right now. There's a lot to do that. And so we're not, and we're going to fight. And I thought that, again, our message in that locker room at the very end, and that's, I'm going to keep it internal with us, was very good. And so we're not going to point fingers. We're not going to blame. We're going to line up and play the next game that they allow us to play. And we freaking go and we fight for each other.
That they allow us to play.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever anybody says that, that's when he starts putting his fate in other people's hands. He's not talking about me anymore. He's talking about them upstairs. If they let me do it, I'll still do it because he senses the end is near.
One thing I see about motivation with this Green Bay team, Bill, is the words kind of come from the position coaches. And so, you hear Jerry Gray, the secondary coach, saying about Darnell he's making some plays. I think he's going to, bust something here. And then it's Mike White, who's an outstanding, vocal, outside linebackers coach. And he put Preston Smith on notice. Like, you know what? Yeah, we need to see a little bit more from Preston Smith. He told us that last week on Wednesday night. And so there you see Preston Smith with the scoop and score. He gets the key third down sack there. Savage had the two picks. And Matt LaFleur pleased at the results.
Our defense did an outstanding job in that first half, getting the two turnovers, getting a score. I thought it was huge for us. Obviously, Preston had the sack. He had the fumble recovery for a touchdown, which were critical. But I thought he did a nice job of putting pressure on the quarterback. And then also Savage, he had a great week of practice, got a pick or two in practice, and it translated over to the game. Certainly when you have a team down 41-10, you'd like to shut the door on them. And I know they had two fourth quarter scores. And I know that's sometimes a byproduct of just trying not to give up the quick score, make a team dink and dunk all the way down the field.
Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, breaking down yesterday's Packers contest as the Packers get an easy win over the Chicago Bears, their 100th win over that franchise, as a matter of fact. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
We wanted to make Mitch play quarterback. We knew if we could make Mitch play quarterback that we'd have a chance.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I don't know.
Side where Kyle Fuller is. Third and 10, here is Rodgers with time. A bunch of it. End zone shot. Adams goes up and gets it. Touchdown, Green Bay.
this is as good as I've ever seen anybody play. Just his ability to go out there and get us in the right looks. And shoot, even when I make a bad call, he definitely makes us look good. So that's a credit to him. He is playing, in my eyes, as he's an MVP player, no doubt about it.
Welcome back. Tonight you got a good one. You got the Seattle Seahawks taking on Philadelphia. Philly, the next opponent for the Green Bay Packers. And if you're looking for something to eat tonight, maybe you don't want to cook after a big holiday weekend. Check out our friends at Quick Trip. They have got you covered. Whether it's good meals just like mom would make, or maybe some of that fried chicken that they have there, the big pothole pizza, they've got it all. Check out our friends from Quick Trip when you're looking for something to eat. They got you covered. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our buddy Mike Clemens is standing by. And Packers get a win last night, Mike. It was a good win. You don't make excuses. You don't apologize for it. Aaron Rodgers, with four big TD passes. I'll tell you what, that offense just looks like it's in rhythm, it's in flow. And the praise that he had for Matt LaFleur and that relationship is something like we haven't heard in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, and for Aaron also to build and build with the running game. A lot of people talked about Aaron Jones, where was he in the second half? Well, you know, they had a 31-point lead. But you're setting up these play-action plays. I'll tell you, it's clearly got to be one of my top five plays of the season. The third quarter play, where Rodgers fakes into the line, I think it was to Aaron Jones, boots left, and then throws back to the middle field, and a wide-open Robert Tonyan down the right hash for the touchdown. I mean, that was his prettiest play. Rodgers was carried out that fake 100%, rolled that running back into the line, pulls it back, carries the ball in his hip, rolls out, looks downfield, throws and hits the tight end, and all in one motion. After he releases the ball, he's not even looking downfield. He's looking at Matt and pointing to him like, you, man, that's the play we were looking for. You know, and I don't know if they showed that on TV, but I had the binoculars on him, and I'm just like, it's all in one fluid motion. Fake, throw the touchdown, celebrate, all in one motion. I mean, what a stud. 132 quarterback rating, four touchdowns last night, but he's given it all up to his teammates and to his head coach.
I just feel like he's settled into his role as head coach. Him and I have been really on the same page all season. There's this just a beautiful trust that I think has blossomed even more this year between him and I. And I think that's an important part of us being successful is the QB and the coach calling and being on the same page. And then, you know, obviously we've had a number of guys give more of themselves. Guys that we talk about every single week, you know, Jamal Williams, Alan Lazard doing the little things and playing super heady. Marquez, you know, in his role, and he'll be disappointed. You know, he didn't have a big role in the passing game, but he's an incredibly important part of our offense. And then how good Devontae is. I mean, he's incredible. And Aaron Jones. So it's been fun to see it all come together. When you have, and I've said this before as well, when you have guys who have specific roles and they embrace them, there's no better way to get a guy to buy in than that. And I think we've done a great job at that, whether it's Mercedes or Jamal Williams or Alan Lazard or Robert Tonyan or Jay Sternberger, Billy Turner, Elvin Jenkins. You know, guys embracing what they have to do and giving their all.
He did go through the whole list, but the compliments that he's dishing out for the head coach right now, Mike, it's different than what we heard last year. It's far different than what we heard during the end of the Mike McCarthy era as well. I mean, you can talk about him buying in, or maybe I go back to the conversation that he had earlier this year where he said, you know, hey, if I see a play, he never talked to Mike McCarthy. He never texted him. Hey, did you see that? It seems like these two guys are like two buds texting each other going, boy, let's draw that up, or let's try to do something like this, or let, you know, it seems like it's just the relationship has caused him to become more engaged.
Well, I think he's got a coach that has got a new plan, a new scheme, a new way of looking at things. It's a fresh scheme, a fresh energy. There's an interesting dynamic going between these three coaches that I picked up on even more last week. To me, you know, I try and it's hard to really figure out Matt LaFleur because he reveals so little about himself. He's sort of like the architecture teacher at school or something. He just knows thousands of plays, and the operations and the management, and that's where he's at. He really doesn't want to talk a lot. He doesn't really want to talk about himself that much, and he constantly focuses on the only thing you players need to worry about is this week's game. I don't want you to worry about your contract. I want you to worry about next week. I don't want you about what people are saying and all that. And it sounds simple, but he just takes it to the nth degree and just says, just do what you need to do for this week's game and then go home and get some rest and just shut out all that other stuff. There's probably ways that he's actually loving this COVID lifestyle because it shuts out all that outside noise. And then there's Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, the guy who's into Star Trek and Star Wars and all these kind of science fiction shows and the Gold Member thing, the Austin Powers movie. And we played the clips of that, and he's putting that into his classrooms with the offense. And these guys are laughing and chuckling. All the drop-ins he's got, it's entertaining. He's showing these guys how to make class fun. He's like the fun social studies teacher. Mike Pettine, I don't know. He's probably like going back to, a chemistry class or something. You know, a guy who's up there at the chalkboard, dry, very dry humor. But I don't know if he's a very much of a vocal guy. But a lot of these guys kind of depend on other personalities to emerge. 10 years ago, when they won the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers said, you know what, Charles Woodson is our vocal leader. Charles Woodson is the guy who can get up on a bench and come up with a speech like, if he won't come to us, we'll go see him in the White House. In the the Bears in the locker room. Last year, the two Smith brothers emerged as these vocal leaders on this team. And I think that what Aaron Rodgers needed to do, and especially when they drafted Jordan Love, is he needed to reassess and say, how do I need to change me? Maybe it is me. Maybe I'm such of the perfectionist, and so he's trying to be more open, give guys more credit, be more vocal, be more accessible than ever before. And I think that's what's making him a better player, just to be around and to lead his team. And then he's got guys like Aaron Jones, who can come through and get you 90 yards. And we asked Aaron Jones about how they got that running game going, which set everything else up for the rest of the game.
Well, we came out with the mentality that we knew we had to run the ball, and it wasn't necessarily up the middle or outside, but as you got in the flow of the game, you could see that starting to open up, and I just think our O-line did a great job, and we always say it starts with them, and they came out there, and they were physical, and they opened up lanes for us to run.
Hey, Mike, real quick, I want to ask you a question, and I know we're going to hear from Davante Adams, but Alan Lazard took a shot, came back into that game, but the question was, and I never got an explanation, as he was coming down from that pass, he got hit. Now, it was a clean hit, but the argument is, was he able to kind of take a step and become a defendable guy rather than a defenseless receiver? Was that ever discussed up in the press box?
No, it wasn't. I thought it was a headshot because I was watching it live, and then listeners on Twitter say, no, the replay shows that he took it to the chest. I don't know, and you know what? That's probably something after LaFleur watches the tape today, we'll ask him, do you file a complaint with the NFL that maybe that's one of those plays that should have been reviewed or should be called to talk to the crew about that. And you talk about Lazard. He just had a great talk with us the other day about what it was like for him to suffer that core muscle groin injury on a 73-yard touchdown against the Saints. And he finished the game, and he's back out there in 7 weeks after the surgery. That surgery usually ends players' years. So Alan Lazard, no question, tough, really smart kid. And you just hope that he can keep that body, a little bit more safe because he could truly be a weapon. And then you got Davante, 6 catches, a touchdown catch. He's just got this crazy good game when he's in sync with Aaron Rodgers, and they can run that play action. And Davante said, it was that Aaron Jones running game that made the difference.
to be able to come in and run the ball the way that we did. And, you know, against, like I said, a couple times now, a really good front seven, it's not easy going in there doing that, especially when times that you know, you have a lead and they know you're going to be running the ball. So to be able to go in, that says a lot about the O-line and a lot about our running backs and the receiving blocking, but more so the O-line. And Jamal had a big night. You know, Aaron did his thing too. So just a complete win.
And then the only, speaking of injuries, the only injury that had concern, now we have found out that it's an MCL sprain and nothing more, but Corey Linsley being carted off the field last night.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur was asked, you know, after the game, because we saw Corey carted off from the sidelines after leaving the injury tent, after needing help to get off with the pain that he had, what he thought after seeing Corey Linsley carted off the bench to the locker room with the knee injury.
It's certainly a concern. It doesn't appear to be season ending, but again, anytime you're missing a guy like Corey, I mean, that's, you're not going to be at your best, because he is such a valuable piece, not only to our offense, but our football team.
So, and again, for those who's just tuning us in, we found out that Corey Linsley, a MCL sprain, according to reports, not an ACL or MCL tear. I saw him go down. He just went down like a sack of wet cement, but I did not see him get rolled up on until the instant replay. But I just watched him go down, and it was just kind of rolling there, and then your eyes trail towards the play, and then I went back to him. But good to see that he only had an MCL sprain, and hopefully in the next few weeks he's able to get back.
Yeah, and he's playing through this chronic back problem. But, you know, when he's good, man, he's so fast, taking out that guy over the middle. You know, yep. And everybody talked about, you know, Akeem Hicks being out there too. But, you know, also it was a couple of weeks ago that their defensive end, Roy Robertson-Harris, was put on IR with a shoulder injury. That dude's been tough against the Packers too. So those two guys out of the lineup helped that offensive line, but they did a tremendous job. You got Elgton Jenkins moving back to center. I was told that there was a graphic during the game where they showed all the different snaps that this kid has played in just his second year. And I'll tell you, Elgton Jenkins reminds me a lot of Kenny Clark. They're kind of soft-spoken, but when you talk football with them, they almost sound like they're offensive or defensive line coaches. They really know football, and you got to think that maybe Jenkins is moving to center next year.
And they're maulers. That's the other thing. Both of those guys can hold their
strength, too.
Yep.
You know, great draft picks, both of them.
Yep, and they're maulers, no doubt. Mike, good stuff. We'll talk again later in the week.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go. Mike Clemens joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. Your car, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE to go to schneiderjobs.com. We're going to wrap it up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.